Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, let me get the right page here, September 2nd, and if you're unmuted, can you please press star 1? Today is Monday, September 2nd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 52. I've got something wrong here, don't I? Sorry, guys. Hold on. So sorry. Today is Monday, September 9th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 53 in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, the second paragraph, beginning with when we became alcoholics, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Danelle M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Gail B., will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jackie H., Becca R., and Sandy D. The share ID for Sunday, September 8th, the special edition, is 13,372, 13372. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,373, 13373. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggio will be making the announcements. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Danelle M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Great. Thanks, Kathleen. This is Danelle M., recovered in Pennsylvania, and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for our knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Danelle M. Gail B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Gail B. from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest money problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
And thank you, Gail B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 53 in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on the second paragraph that begins with when we became alcoholics, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Jackie H., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade, we had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? Yeah, this is a really little paragraph, but it is very, very loaded, isn't it? Oh, wow. You know, I never ever considered myself an agnostic. I always had a belief in God. I didn't always think he had my back, but I didn't think I was agnostic. And boy, it's after I got into this program, especially in the last year, I realized, this first little paragraph, we become crushed by our self-imposed crisis. Though the food is down, thank you, God. I did that right away. That wasn't my problem. So that was my solution. So I got the food down, and then real life started to happen because I wasn't soothing myself and medicating myself with food. And so as I did go through the steps, and they're beautiful, beautiful. And I did have a spiritual awakening, and I still continue to grow in my spiritual life. But every time I feel a grievance, every time I have a resentment, it is just right there in my face that I am the reason. Where did I get the ball rolling here to cause my suffering and to cause the loss that I would feel at any given moment because of something that somebody had done to me, or, you know, just the whole stuff. We all know all that stuff that comes up on a daily basis, all that emotional buildup. And I'm just going to fast forward as far as this, the end of the other paragraph says, we don't know. And well, I thought I knew who God was. I could explain to you who he was. I could tell you how to get to heaven. I could tell you how to live your life. I knew exactly what God was. And you know what? Coming into program, I finally do. I have put, and more lately, I continue. This relationship with my higher power continues to evolve. And I do put my hands up in the air and say, I don't know. I can't even begin to explain what my higher power is. If I tried, I muddy the waters. And I absolutely make my higher power smaller than the huge, huge being or presence that God is in my life. And, you know, I'm not perfect. I'll never, ever be perfect. And so I haven't come to the place where 24/7, I actually know that God is everything or he is nothing. Because if I was in that place where I believed God was everything, then I would probably not have resentments. I would probably not struggle and have the suffering that I do. And so I get to be human, and I get to use every single opportunity I have here to choose again every moment. Is God everything or is he nothing? If he is everything, then I can be safe. I know he has my back. I can move forward. I can be kind. I can be loving. If he is nothing, that's when I get in my ego. I edge God out and I suffer and the people around me suffer. So I this is a beautiful little paragraph, and I'm so grateful for being able to read this morning and serve. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph, page 52, the second paragraph?
Freedom H.
Becca R.
Donna B.
Bruce E.
Donna B.
Deborah G.
Bruce E.
Donna Bruce E.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Emma
okay,
M.
Let's stop right there. Let's stop there. Okay, so here's what I have. I missed a few initials, but Freedom H, Becca R, Donna, Bruce E, Deborah, and Beatrice O. So go ahead, Freedom H.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for everything. Basically, come to realize through this 12-step program is that my ego wants to be fed. And I have to learn to make God my everything. I have to learn the steps, which that's what the steps eventually lead to, is having a constant contact with God. When I don't have a contact with God, my life is completely unmanageable and I'm completely insane. And so, yeah, this is amazing, this little tiny, not very much for the reading, but, boy, it has a lot to say. That's what it boils down to, is either I'm serving my ego and feeding that, or I'm going to be serving, humbling and submitting and surrendering to a higher power and seeking God's will for my life every day. And with that, I'll mute. Thank you.
Thank you, Freedom H. Okay, Becca R., you're up next, followed by Donna.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. And what I wanted to share was, I'm still reeling off of the awesome special edition yesterday, but what this passage made me think of was something that I heard yesterday, and that's about abandoning a house. You know, if I leave my house for the day and I come back, my stuff's still all there, my dogs are there, you know. But if I abandon, like if I pack up, if I move out, if I turn off the water, turn off the electric, like I'm not going back. And that's what I am learning to believe is what I had to do with my idea about God and higher power. I had to abandon my old ideas. I had to leave and not come back. And that's really all I wanted to share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Becca R. So Donna, you're up next, followed by Bruce E. And Donna, can you give me the first initial of your last name, please?
Yes, this is Donna D., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And this sentence, God either is or he isn't, what was our choice to be? And when I read this paragraph, I'm reminded that in We Agnostics, we're really at step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So I don't think this paragraph is asking me or requiring me to have a solid conception of God. It is asking me in a very direct way, have I come to believe that it absolutely requires a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity? Have I completely and totally run out of ideas? Have I accepted that on my own self-will, I have created a crisis in my life that is beyond my ability to fix on my own? So I really want to share with people who are agnostic or who have sort of an ambiguous or slippery, slidey concept of God, that this question doesn't exclude us. So for me, I don't have a concept of God. It makes me uncomfortable to attribute human qualities to God. And I know that I've been asked to write assignments about a want to have for God or to describe a best friend and then attribute those qualities to God. There's something about giving God human qualities that freaks me out. I'm comfortable with God being a mystery, a complete and total mystery that I don't have to understand. God doesn't have to be explained to me. I don't have to believe in what God is or what God isn't. But I have come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. That power is an absolute mystery to me. And that power is. That power has to be. Because left on my own, I can only make a mess of my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Deborah.
All right, Bruce E. in North Carolina, recovered. When we became alcoholics, so tells me there that I didn't start out an alcoholic. I became one. I became a food addict by constantly abusing the addictive substance of food. I eventually became a food addict. Crushed by a self-imposed crisis. Well, the food addiction crushed me, and I did it to myself. I take full responsibility for this addiction. I take the responsibility because I was crushed by a self-imposed. I imposed this on myself. And that I couldn't postpone or evade it. No, I couldn't, because it was so paramount. It was so in front of my face that I couldn't avoid it. And we had to fearlessly face the proposition, either God is everything or he's nothing. Grew up my whole life, 38 years, thinking God was nothing, didn't think there was a God, didn't believe in God. Finally found out that, yep, there is. For me, I believe in God now. I'm a believer, and he's everything. Used to be nothing. Now he's everything. Feel bad to even say that, but he's everything. What was our choice to be? Finally had to make the choice. Yep, he's everything, and he is. So that's it for me, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. Okay, Deborah, you're up next, followed by Beatrice O, and the first initial of your last name, please, Deborah.
Hi, I'm Deborah G., recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, and thank you for all the shares. I'm going to be having my yearly review and raise today or later today. So I woke up in my head, you know, going over all these things, scenarios, and this. It's so interesting how creative my head can be. And sometimes I even know I'm doing it. You know, it's like, and I'm just watching it and listening to it, and there's just something about it. You know, it's all ego, ego, ego. And I'm so glad that I got on this meeting this morning, because I got the awakening. I say spiritual experience, not awakening, that all I need to do is surrender to that power in step two and to allow the mystery to unfold with my experience at work today. Wow, there's just a peace and a surrender and a serenity, surrender and serenity that I feel with that. That feels really good. Thank you so much for 12-stepping me today, and that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Deborah G. Before we take Beatrice O, just a reminder, we're on page 53, the second paragraph, commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll be taking some names after Beatrice O. So go ahead, Beatrice O, please.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O, recovering from Northern California. I really like this paragraph of self-imposed crisis. I believe that I had or have a shadow side. You know, for me, there is good and there is evil. And we don't have a problem seeing evil all around us and all the shootings in our society today. But it's funny how we wonder if there is a God. You know, but I think this is an invitation for us to look at our wonderful world and God's creation, or like looking at a, you know, a baby being born, a new baby coming into this earth, or to look around us and look with our spiritual eyes. And I'm not talking about that, you know, spooky, mystical, you know, mumbo jumbo kind of thing. I'm talking about a clean, light, holy, pure eyes. Because I think we all have a spirit side. And well, at least I do. I feel it. And I can see it in other people. And I think what's hard is sometimes I used to think that my higher power was invisible and he wasn't tangible. And I believed more in the food than I did in God, because food was tangible. It was my reality and I could feel it. And now I have a higher power that is tangible. And I can make my recovery tangible by changing my behavior and looking at life with the new pair of glasses. Yes, I became an addict. I crossed the line. But we have a choice in our own lives. And so I choose God. And I don't have to try and figure it out or join, you know, figure it out anonymous. I'm just really grateful. And for me, God is. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. So, all right, who else would like to comment on page 53, the second paragraph? Leah S.
Carrie C.
Wait, say Marina that. Say your name again. Hold on.
Carrie
I missed all. Carrie C.
Carla N.
Carla N.
Marina P.
Marie B, was it?
Marina P.
Marina P. I can take a couple more.
Nancy C.
Nancy C. Bonnie Jo M, was it?
Bonnie G.
Oh, Bonnie G. Don't ask me where I got that, Bonnie. Okay, so let's stop there. Leah S, Carrie C, Carla N, Marina P, Nancy C, and Bonnie G. So if you're not Leah S, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And go ahead, Leah S.
Thank you so much, moderator. And I apologize. I spoke over you. I really do. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Leah S. recovered in Brooklyn and very grateful. I'm going to go through this paragraph. When we became alcoholics, when I became a compulsive overeater, you know, I was yo-yoing my entire life. And I always was happy, actually, to go on a diet, quote-unquote diet, because I felt good. So when I became a compulsive overeater, where there was no time that I was yo-yoing anymore, and I was just into the food, I became a real alcoholic. I was crushed by the self-imposed crisis. That's my own. I created all that. I did that because there was no solution. The solution was the food. The problem was the food, and the solution was the food. So I really did this to myself. We could not postpone or evade, and we had to fearlessly face the proposition. Now, you know, this book is so cleverly put together. It goes step by step. It is in a sequence. If I did not stay, because many times I did ask myself, you know what, God, help me already. Either I die or I just, you know, this pain is so unbearable. So, you know, there were times that I had lucid moments. And this is why this book is so important to me, and these steps are so important. I remained abstinent to hear this question being posed to me. And I had to face myself. And I had to do this responsibility once and for all. This book is telling me that I should just continue. Go on. Get hope into this one. This is really a tough one. But, you know, answer it honestly. Whether it's the way your sponsor wants you to answer it or doesn't, answer it honestly for yourself. Face yourself, Leah. You know, all the things. Your body is a computer way before computers became computers, known computers. Your body functions and functions. Oh, my God. Never thought about that. Never gave myself the chance to think about that. And this program has opened my eyes more than I can ever, ever imagine what I would see. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Carrie C., you are up next, followed by Carla N.
Thank you. This is Carrie C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And I'm listening to all the great shares this morning. I relate to all of them. And I, too, like I look at that first word that jumps out at me, alcoholics. And, you know, I go back to there is a solution in the doctor's opinion, and it reminds me the real alcoholic has lost all control. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the power of choice when it comes to food. I don't have the power of choice. And that is a self-imposed crisis. But what really dawns on me is at that point, as a lot of people have just shared, if I've stayed abstinent long enough and I'm willing to face what the real proposition is, am I going to be God or am I going to let God be God? Am I going to continue to live on self-reliance, which got me up to over 215 pounds at 5'1 and a half? Or am I going to accept perhaps that there's an alternative solution that isn't me, and the book tells me it's God? But the other thing this morning that's really dawning on me is just the psychic change and the perception that comes about when I really look at this. And I know sometimes I'll talk to people and they have a really hard time with step two because of their lack of understanding and their disappointment in God, whatever the God was of their understanding, you know. And I realized that that was true for me also. But I've learned that we can take the word God in the book and we can just look at it as good. And I really see how the psychic change comes into play here, because if good is everything, then I'm looking at everything differently. You know, someone used to say to me, it's not the miracle, Terry, it's the perception. And if I'm looking at everything, I'm looking at good in everything, my perspective can change. And I'm not saying, you know, it's hard to look at good at some things. You know, my son's going for an important job, and of course, you know, he wants it badly. I'd love for him to get it. But maybe the good is that he doesn't get it. I don't know. That, you know, that's not up for me to decide. Maybe there'll be good if he doesn't get it. Maybe he'll try harder next time for the same job or a different job. I don't know. My ideas don't work. They definitely don't work. We learned that on the page before. So, you know, if I can remember that good is everything or is in everything, I live a totally different life today. My day is different when I'm seeking the good. God is everything for me today because God is goodness. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry C. Okay, Carla N., it is your turn, followed by Marina P.
Hi, Carla N., recovering compulsive overeater in Southern California. Gosh, this line is just miraculous. And hearing all these shares this morning, it just, it's like I feel it physically. Like it's just, it's incredibly soothing. And this paragraph, I already have. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Carla.
Okay, sorry, I bumped my phone. This paragraph, I already had it, you know, starred and boxed and circled in my big book, but what I'm really moved by was this, you know, having my attention drawn to this postponement and evasion idea, that like my crises come, my self-imposed crises. And I would say that all my crises are self-imposed in that they become crises because I involve self in them, come from postponement or attempts to postpone or evade. And I'm looking at doing, you know, I'm wrapping up a fourth step and doing a fifth step, another fifth step today. And I'm looking at things that I've tried to postpone or evade, a little bit like trying to keep your, you know, your finger in a, to keep a flood from coming through or something like that. You know, there are things that I've marshaled so much will to try and control or change in my life. And I so appreciate this practice of letting God in, because it really feels like a practice to me. I've had to practice before I can believe. The believing is almost, you know, takes the back seat to the practice. I just have to practice reaching out to God and turning things over. And I don't have to know what God is. I love hearing that, you know, this idea of embracing God's mystery, God's wonder God's magic, you know, and just turning my will and my life over to that on a regular basis. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carla N. Okay, Marina P., it's your turn, followed by Nancy C. Star one to unmute, Marina.
Hi there, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Marina Perlman, recovering in Southern California, grateful to be on this phone call this morning. I've been listening to vision calls for the last 5 months that I have been in the program, and I was struck by this paragraph as well, this decision that's up to us, that it's our choice whether to be with God, rely on God. And I feel like God has really led me to this point in the last 5 months that I don't think I could have had this awakening without my higher power whatsoever, forcing me to kind of look within and to see where I'm hiding. Before, I was hiding behind all the food and, you know, the weight. And I didn't really realize that, because I am someone who is outspoken, who is able to speak in a room. But I realized that I was always very comfortable with everything that I was doing. So even speaking on this line this morning is very uncomfortable to be vulnerable and speak my truth. And through working the program for the last 5 months, and I feel like I'm just in between step three and step four, I have had to really let go of all these predisposed ideas I've had about myself and what I know about my higher power. I thought I was faithful until we started reading this chapter. We agnostics, I thought I had a God and I believed in God, but what I realized is I just don't rely on God to carry me through and understand that I'm not running the show, because if it was left up to me, I'd be running everyone's show. So I just wanted to say I'm very grateful for this program and today and Vision for You meeting. It has changed my life at a foundational level, and it's continuing to change and helping me be truthful to myself and to the world, and to stand up and be able to access my voice in this way has been a huge growth experience for me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marina P. Nancy C., you are up next, followed by Bonnie G.
Hi, my name is Nancy C. I'm from Santa Barbara, but I'm in Lake Tahoe right now. Hello, and thank you for everybody's shares. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My self-imposed crisis was definitely becoming an addict to food, bulimic, anorexic, what have you, and my ego taking over, thinking that I could manage it. And just like every single self-imposed crisis in my life, my relationships with people, the way I handle myself, is all about my ego. And what it is it's either going to be, I'm going to ask for God to help me, or I'm going to have my ego manage it. And if I let my ego manage it, there's no room for God. In the same manner that I am not good enough on my own because my ego will take over. But with God, I am enough. So it's a matter of a lifestyle. Am I going to have God be in my life and hand over my problems and hand over my ego, because it's so big that it just obliterates me that I can't find God? And all I have to do is seek for that power. I don't have to know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. I think I can't imagine. So on a daily basis, all my self-imposed crises have to be handed over to my higher power. And that's the way I can manage my life with God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy C. And we're going to take Bonnie G., but I just want to remind everyone that we're on page 53, the second paragraph, and we can take a few more names after Bonnie G. So go ahead, Bonnie, please.
Hi, this is Bonnie G. in South Florida. I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. And I love this paragraph. And it's such a reminder. When we become alcoholics crushed by self-imposed crises, Yeah, I do make my own crises. And as an alcoholic, compulsive overeater, I had to fearlessly face the proposition that I'm not God, that I have to have a higher power, something that's greater than me, that's going to keep me in line, that's going to move me forward, that's going to help me stop trying to control and run the show. And the only way that I can do that is with faith. And choosing that minute by minute and meal by meal, my mind doesn't work. My mind only gets me into trouble, so I have to go outside of me. I love that reference to goodness. Whatever it is, it's something bigger than me. And this is, you know, the basis for step two. And as one of our friends always says, our problems usually occur in steps 2 and 11, the least understood steps. And for me, I choose to understand this step 2, and I turn to God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie G. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph, page 53, second paragraph?
Linda R.
Irene
Linda,
B.
Linda R., Irene B.,
Betsy
and was it Betsy?
Betsy QK.
Betsy QK. Okay.
H.
So I have. H. I think we only have time for three. So I'm going to stop there. So I have Linda R, Irene B, and Betsy QK, and hopefully you'll all join us tomorrow and share because these are great. Okay, go ahead, Linda R.
Thank you so much for your service. And this is Linda R., recovered in North Carolina. I'm so grateful for the fellowship. And I love this paragraph. And I love, you know, what they talk about with self-imposed crisis in step 2. For me, I've been in a program many years, and I really was not aware that I even was doing that to myself and creating all these crises in my life. And, you
Come
know,
on.
When I
Macy.
When I went, excuse me. When I went through the steps, you know, when I got to step 2, my ego reduced and I started to get more awareness with it. And for me, you know, when the crisis comes up, it's really the mental obsession for me. I mean, I created it. It's the escalation of the daily feelings, the things that are going on in my life when I'm not talking to my higher power. And through God, you know, God was crisis intervention for me. I mean, he's the one that constantly gives me this tap on my shoulder and tells me, Linda, you have to pause. You have to take an action. And right now in my life, I'm having some really, like, difficult situations with one of my children with illness, and it's really very painful for me. And I could go right into the crisis and being in the victim mode. However, what I do now because of recovery, I'm so glad that I have a recovered state of mind. God just tells me, he directs and guides me. And I cannot sit idle once it starts to, you know, the implant goes right in the brain. Then if I allow it to escalate like the addictive brain, I'm off and running. So for me, I just want to share that the God box is a phenomenal tool for me when I get into any life crises. I did that yesterday. I put my daughter in the God box. I called many of my fellows. I talk about my feelings. I do all the things that program has taught me. And, of course, my food is the given. That has to stay down, or I will not even have a fighting chance in this program. So I just wanted to share about the self-imposed crisis. No, it can be prevented and not corrected. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda R. Okay, Irene B., you're up next, followed by Betsy QK.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am an abstinent recovering bulimic since April 4th, 2017. I'm very excited about that because I could not string more than 2 days of abstinence for my entire life, at least the last 40 years when I became bulimic. But back to this paragraph, I'm just
it means so much to me, and it shows my reaction to it, shows my growth, because I used to be terrified. God being everything to me, that thought scared me half to death, because I thought that if God was everything to me, that I had to live up to his expectations, and I simply could not live up to his expectations. That's why I walked away from him, because he didn't care about me, and because I knew that I couldn't live up to his expectations, because I thought that he was full of expectations. So by the grace of God, and through the help of so many people along the way, and most importantly, this program, I have learned to look at my beliefs, uncover this cover and this card. But I needed to replace my old beliefs with beliefs that worked. And what worked for me is to understand that God is not a punishing God. He is a God full of love, grace, infinite power and wisdom. And that when he wants something for me, it's because it is in my best interest. He doesn't need my skills. He doesn't need me for anything. But he wants me to be effective, to be happy. He wants me to have the abundant life. And that's why he tells me what to do. Not because he's mean and punishing or needy. He doesn't need my service. He knows what's best for me. And knowing that he wants what is best for me makes it so easy to trust him with my life. But the problem is, I don't know how to stay in touch with him because I am so used to being self-reliant. So eventually I learned to pray. But after the prayer was over, I was back into life, which meant I was back on self-reliance. And then I realized that I don't think about God until the next time I pray. And sometimes that was just between church services every 7 days. But for me to be able to have this beautiful, miraculous recovery, I need to stay connected to my source. So what I have done is...
Time, please.
I just will say that I just reach out to God, and I talk to him throughout the day. And it's difficult to remember, but it's the most important thing I can do is to remember to stay in touch with him. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you, Irene B. Okay, Betsy QK, if you could take about 2 minutes, that would be great.
Sure thing. Hi, this is Betsy QK. I'm a recovered bulimic compulsive reader in Colorado. And I love this paragraph because it took me a long time to understand that if I am in self-reliance, that I'm not trusting in God. But my human condition is to always try to go back into self-will. And my addiction teaches me, it's the biggest teacher for me in my life, to turn and ask God for direction and help. And that is what has brought me to my knees and helped me to get closer to God. So in a way, everybody has their cross to bear. That's mine that brings me closer to God and helps me to know that God is everything. And then the other thing that I was thinking about was, because I really appreciated Harlan's talk yesterday, that over the years, my concept of God has changed because, like a lot of people, I came in with a concept of if I'm not perfect, I'm not lovable even by God, and that's really not what God requires of me. And I think it's funny that God spelled backwards is dog. And for me, I don't think my dog is God, but for me, my dogs love me unconditionally. No matter what mood I'm in, no matter how I'm behaving, and they are always there for me. And so that's the way that I picture my God, is that God loves me unconditionally. No matter how I'm behaving, no matter what's going on, God will always be there for me. God is all loving. And that concept has helped me to make God everything in my life because I trust God now. Thank you. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Betsy QK. And thank you, everyone who shared really fabulous shares this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Danelle M, Gail B, Jackie H, Becca R, Sandy B, Reggio, and Mo H. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Becca R., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, Becca R., Recovered Compulsive Overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.